this morning, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And it says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Last week we began to speak on the fruit of the Spirit. We saw the bad fruit, the bad things that should not be a part of our lives. And then of course we started with just a couple of the fruit, and we'll pick up there. But I read an article, and they were talking about the Garden of Gethsemane today. And they said they had a small problem. They had to put up a fence, and they keep having to guard that fence around the Garden of Gethsemane because people kept reaching up in there and taking the plants from inside the garden. And I'm sitting there trying to imagine the desire to grab and steal these plants, whatever they are. I didn't quite say what it was they were taking, but to steal those for what? Some kind of religious experience with Christ. Well, I'll tell you this. Those plants are not connected to Christ. You could even go get yourself a sample of the dirt. You could take all the dirt from the garden, put it in your own yard, and they say it ain't going to be anything different than the dirt a few feet away from that garden. See, we think that we need to have certain qualifications, but the thing is that the best thing that you can grow in life that'll bring you closer to Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you need, not the small plants from the Garden of Gethsemane, not anything other than spiritual characteristics. We talked about the first one mentioned there, love. You know what? Things would be a whole lot easier if we approached everything with love. Now, we understand that there could be some conflicting emotions involved in a thing, but if we approached it with love, things go a whole lot better. And I'm not talking about manipulation or insincerity. I'm talking about real love. I respect you as one of God's creatures. I respect you and your desire, so I'm going to come with a little bit of love. And I'll tell you what, we find a whole lot more common ground. We have a whole lot less conflict. And as we love on those around us, we find that love reciprocated back. You know, we've been having a little bit of a situation with one of the boys, and, you know, I just realized that been doing a lot more talking about some of the bad behavior than we have about love. So you know what I did? I just kind of reached over, put my arm around him, gave him a hug. And I'll tell you what, you know what broke him? That. Oh, you got to put the boots every now and then, right? Discipline has to take place. Has to take place. But you always got to temper everything with what? Love and care and respect. Right? A little bit of love goes a long way. And as you love others, you'll find love for yourself. We ought to be so filled with the love of God that it just pours out of us. Because that love, it's mentioned first, and of course we talked about how it's mentioned first when the Lord talks about the greatest commandment, love God. What's the second commandment? Love others. Love. And I believe we got into joy. You know, that thing inside of us that keeps the light on, that little bit of happiness, that continuing thing that's more than peace. It's as the kids sang, that bubbling in our soul, that even in the hardest of moments, we can have joy. And we were sitting there at the funeral, and you know, I just kind of took the opportunity a little bit to introduce a little bit of laughter. We laughed for a while, and then we started talking about the hard things. You know, it was certainly good at that time to see some loved ones. It was certainly good at that time to be able to present the gospel. It was certainly a wonderful thing to see some family members I ain't seen for a while get together. We went out to eat at the worst restaurant I've ever been to in my life. We had such a good time, though. It is possible in the in difficult times to maintain a sense of joy. Now, I'm not talking about a delusional giddiness, right? I've met those people where everything's going sideways and they're like, ha, 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 everything's wonderful. And you're like, oh, bless your heart. I'm talking about deep inside a knowledge that I can have joy, that I have this joy because my God is in control, because everything is taken care of, because I've got no need for worry, and then the joy comes out where I can be happy. What about peace? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand in hope of the glory of God. We know what is taking place is all within the hands of God, and we can have peace. Why? Because we don't have to sit there. Our faith is not just something we're holding our breath and waiting for. Right? Many of you, you started up your lawn equipment. You sat there, you got everything all together, and you go to hit go or pull the string, and you hoped. And it probably broke your heart a little bit if it didn't go the first four or five times. Oh no, what's happened? Is everything going to be okay? And you know, we're in those moments. I don't know if it's going to go this way or that way. And it's hard to have peace when you're conflicted over something, unless you have God, in which case you know no matter how it works out for good. We can have peace with God. I know who He is. I know He has an interest in me and my situation. I know that He controls all things on earth. And that gives me a certain amount of peace. And I'd rather that peace than the chaos of everything around. Turn on the news, what do you read? Or what do you see? Chaos. You sit there, you check in with family. What's going on? Oh, bad news. This has happened, that's happened. And we can sit there and, oh no, what do we... Oh. Or because I have the Lord and I have His statutes and I have His commands, I can sit there and know exactly what to do. And I can have peace with God knowing He's in control. And as long as I am abiding by His book, I cannot go wrong. I can have peace with Him and I can have peace from Him. Philippians 4:7. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a peace that comes straight from God. You know, I think we've all, at least I hope we have all, experienced that peace where we've sat there, we said, we've got no resolution. We have no idea what's going to happen. All we know is that we're kind of stuck. But there's that peace. Where does that peace come from? It comes from God. And as we exhibit that peace and we show that peace, right, it is a testament to who our God is to those around us who might not believe. You ever have that? Why are you so calm? Well, because I know the Lord's going to take care of this. Right? Why? Because I've been through this rodeo so many times where God has come in the clinch situation and everything has worked out. Again, wasn't always happy with how it worked out. Didn't get what I want and what worked out. But I have peace. And a peace that comes directly from God. Not just because I'm relying on Him. Not just because I trust Him. But a peace of just the Lord putting His hand on my shoulder. And just being there. Just being able to have that from Him. To have peace. And what else do we see here in this list? Long-suffering. Oh boy, if this world could experience a little bit of long-suffering, just a little bit more. We call that bearing injuries or provocations for a long time. Patient, not easily provoked. You know, I tell you what, you want to irritate somebody? I mean, you really want to get under somebody's skin? I'll tell you what to do. When they attack you, you don't attack them. You act the way you're supposed to when they're all unhinged, and that'll get them. they'll either snap out of it, or you're going to irritate them to no end. But either way, I want you to pay attention that it's not about irritating them. It's not about winning. It's about obedience to the Lord. I'm going to be long-suffering with you because when I look at my Heavenly Father, that's what He is to me. And I am supposed to be more like Him than I am of this world, right? And I am commanded to be long-suffering. So long-suffering is what you're going to get out of me, right? Not every insult, not every pain, not everything needs to be answered with more conflict and strife. We blow things out of proportion. Sometimes we get into arguments and the argument devolves into something that's not even about what the discussion is. All right, it turns into, well, why don't you two talk anymore? Well, they said this to me. Well, they said that to me. Saw a little bit of that this last week. Last time we got together, you said this. Yeah, but you said that. You know how much easier and more peaceful your life would be if you're able to sit there and say, well, bless their heart. That was kind of mean of them. You know what I'm saying? If you just let that roll off your back. Well, why should I? That's not sticking up for my own interests. If you think inviting strife and bitterness into your life is in your best interest, you are wrong. It is one of the most harmful things you can do in your life. Just sit there and forgiveness. I'm going to put some patience and some forgiveness together and create some long suffering. Now again, the Bible also commands that we ought not to be doormats to people, so long suffering looks a certain way. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all long suffering, forbearing one another in what? Love. Love is for as long as love endures, for as long as I can show love or inject love into this situation, there will be some long suffering. Sometimes we get too short of a fuse, and I've known people who are proud of their short fuse. They're proud of how big of an explosion they have when they're pushed to a certain extent. Some folks, you ain't got to push them at all. They're just ready to pop, right? That's a horrible way to live, by the way. Proud of the abuse and how quickly you are ready to get to abuse. What we need to do instead is allow people around us, or understand that people around us, they're sinners too. They're sinners too. Maybe that guy that cut you off, maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe something awful's happening. It'll be a little bit of long suffering. Not saying that we condone sin in any way, but that we do not, well, that we don't sin as a reaction to sin being done against us. Here's another one. Gentleness. Gentleness. Mild. Not rough. Harsh or severe. But characterized almost like a nurse with trying children. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. 1 Thessalonians. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Sometimes the boys that get after me, you're too soft with Melody. Why does she get away with everything? Well, number one, she's a baby. Number two, she puggled me my last baby. No, she's a baby. And how do you treat a baby? Do I sit there and give her chores? I give her a little bit of chores. We were cleaning up a toy bin yesterday. You guys know what it's like when a toy bin turns into a toy mountain and you can't move it or walk too close to it or speak too loud around it before. Ah! So I'm like, that's it. We're going to take care of this thing today. And really all you end up doing is you throw out some broken things and you just move it, right? You just move it. She sat there. She was looking at something. She goes, hi there. She threw it in the bin. And after a while, that became a great fun game for her. She just started throwing everything into the bin. You know, she could have gotten a cat in there. She just thought that was a good game. But we don't sit there and expect her to do schoolwork. We don't expect her to do this. What do we take care of her? We put her up in the chair. We get her food cut up for her. We take care of her. That's, folks, that's a little bit of what we're talking about. When we're talking about gentleness, we are taking care of each other. We are being patient with each other. We are supplying the needs of each other without harshness or without a certain amount of ugliness. Now, don't get me wrong. There does come a time for being tough. There is such a thing as being so gentle we are almost abusive in that. You talk about some of the parenting styles today. Well, we never tell our child that what they did was wrong. We try to communicate that there perhaps is another way. So we celebrate when they are wrong so that they never feel anxiety. And if they never feel anxiety, then they grow up to be perfectly mature and wonderful people. And as I've had to explain many times, the world is not patient like that. The world is not gentle like that. Your first job won't be patient. Your first, your relationships won't be that way. There will be some anxiety. You know, I've had to tell my kids more than once, Daddy's got to make you understand that things are hard out there, so I've got to be a little hard on you right here. Well, why do I got to do the dishes? Because you're going to be doing dishes for the rest of your life, and I want you to understand what soap feels like on your hands, okay? I want you to know that. Well, I don't feel like it. That's the perfect opportunity, son, because right now you get to practice doing something you have to do, even though you don't want to do it, and I know that it makes you grumpy, and I hate seeing you upset, but son, I got to teach you how to do the things you don't want to do, right? Okay, Dad. Showed him an episode of Hoarders one time. That whole house got so clean. Something about that show just inspires you. Start scrubbing stuff. But there is that gentleness, right? That gentleness. Hey, no, listen, this is how you do it. Sometimes we come home, we're so rough and aggressive on each other, and we go out into the world and we're so rough and aggressive on each other. We don't need that. Oh, we draw our lines. We defend our lines. We stand firm in our lines. Yes, yes. But do not forget gentleness in what you're doing. Lord Jesus Christ had every right to be verbally aggressive to the woman at the well, to be abusive to the one who reached out and touched the hem of his clothes. He could have come down to the earth and just whipped us all. He could have killed every person inside the temple, selling and ripping people off. He could have done that, but he didn't do that. What did he choose? Gentleness. As those men smacked him and hit him and they tortured him, he would have been well within his right to do any form of violence that he chose. But instead, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, we ought to be strong. But I tell you what, no more is strength shows itself no more loudly than it does in gentleness. We also see the word there, goodness, or from the Greek agathos, that which being good in its character, to have a good character, something that is beneficial in its effect on things around it. Hey, this is a good thing. I like this. You know, I came in and I saw the flowers in the back, don't know where they came from, but I saw those and go, this is a good thing. It makes me smile. Just to see that, I'm sure it smells good. I haven't put my nose over there yet. That's good. You know, when we see things that are well affected by other things, we would say, this is good. Hey, it was good to see you. It was good to have you over. We had a good time, didn't we? Thinking about that restaurant again. Never going to forget that restaurant. The food was terrible, but the company was good. We sat there. I probably waited for my food for 45 minutes. My cousin, who sat across from me, waited for her Coke, the drink that she ordered. She probably waited for that just as long as I waited for my food. It was rough. You ever have a waitress come up? She was talking to my other cousin. She had her family sitting in the booth right behind me. They came up after about 40, as I was getting my food, they came up to them, ordered the same time I did, maybe a couple minutes before, came on up to, well, it turns out you got to tell us what toppings you want on your burgers before they'll make it. I was uncomfortable. The food was lousy. The service terrible. The wait staff was arguing over by the cash register. But I tell you what, that company was good. Was good. There are some things that just affected. And all we laughed and we joked and we hardly minded that things took so long because we ourselves were looking to take so long. It's good. I tell you what, you get up in the morning and you read your Bible, it's good. It's good for you. You take time to pray throughout the day, multiple times throughout the day. It is a good effect on you. But the commandment here is not just to ingest and have things that are good, but it is to be that good that affects everything. How can I help? Not exhausting yourself, not hurting yourself, but how can I be a good effect on the situation, on what's going on around me? How can I, through the things that I have learned through the Word, how can I, with my relationship with God, affect this situation in a good way? How can I bring God and love and His commandments into where I am? My workplace, my family, my home. How can I be good? My church, how can I bring goodness into it? Next thing we see here is faith. Go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. We've spent some time in Hebrews 11 here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith. I use the acrostic there, taking every letter there, following any instruction that's His. As faith, you tell me to do this, Lord, I believe you, I'm going to do it. And that's it. There's no questioning, there's no hand-wringing, there's no twiddling of the thumbs. If I know what direction God wants me to go, if I can open up the Word of God and say, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do, I feel good. It's when I don't quite know where to go, I get myself in trouble. We ought to rely on our faith. Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to do it? And then stepping out fully believing that God will take care of whatever situation it is. We need to have faith. Faith is the thing you grow. Right? The disciples, they asked, Lord, give us more faith. What did he say? You don't need more faith. You need to exercise the faith that you have. You need to stretch it. You need to use what you've got. And that's the way it goes. Faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the bigger it is. The less you use it, the smaller it gets. Some of us, our faith atrophies. It becomes useless to us. We need to rely on that faith. Work that faith. Lord, if this is what you see, this is what you say, this is what I will do. So goodness, faith, meekness. I love meekness. Meekness is one of the most misunderstood concepts in Scripture. Right? And in my home, or actually I won't tell you where it is, but I've got a weapon. Use that weapon for protection. You know what that weapon slides into? I don't put it in my waistband. I don't put it in my pocket. What do? I like a neoprene holster. I like a good hard holster to put that into. Folks, that's what meekness is. Meekness is a holster you put your strength in. Meekness is that ability to control the level of strength you put into something. Hey, sometimes I do got to fight. Sometimes I do got to holler. Sometimes I do got to take a hard stand on something and people don't like it. And I got to use every ounce of my strength, and I've got to be every bit as firm as I'm supposed to be. But with meekness, I know when to put that away. I know how to temper that. It is like a gas pedal. I'm going to put a lot in, or I'm going to put a little bit in. Right? Meekness, as I would often heard say, meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is control over yourself. Meekness is control over your strength. Not putting everything into a situation and overloading it. Right? I like how my mom used to wake us up in the morning. All right, kids. Time to wake up. Now that's the warning shot. Now for me, that was enough for me. She turned the light on, and by that time that light got on, good morning, I was ready to go. My brother took a little bit more persuasion. Still does. You almost had to bring a jackhammer in, put it onto the bed, and brrr, just to get him up. Yeah, you ever hear that? My mom would have just dumped cold water on him. You know, she went from cold water to hot water to stinky water. It took a lot. Eventually, I just kind of picked him up, carried him to school on my back. Sorry, come on. He'll wake up on the way, you know. you vary your strength. For one boy, good morning. For the other one, good morning. All right, time to get up. Okay, get up. I'm not coming in here anymore. I'm grabbing the skillet, you know. Well, whatever. You know, you amplify that. Meekness is the ability to control that strength. Hey, sometimes I need to know when to be gentle. It's that governor we put on our strength to know what is necessary, how much is necessary, being able to show that. Because I'll tell you what, pride makes you loud. Pride puts you in the center. Meekness says, you know what, let's just do what's right. Let's just do what's right. Let's find out what needs to happen here, what level of effort needs to be put into there. Now next we see there is temperance. Some of us, we were doing really, really good up until this temperance part. Because what's temperance? Self-control. Moderation. Particularly the habitual kind of moderation. In regard to indulgence. Natural appetites and passions. Restrained or moderate indulgence or self-control. Again, all these words that we would put into there. Basically, how well can you control this and this and this and this? Right? Oh, I tell you what, Melody, she does this thing. She likes this show. She likes this little cartoon dog show. And she'll sit there and she knows who to go to. She doesn't bother mommy about the cartoon dog show. You know who she bothers? She bothers daddy. She'll come over, she'll grab my finger, start pulling me. Wait, what? And sometimes she'll show me a problem, so I always follow her, right? Well, she'll point to the TV, she'll blah, 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 blah. She wants to watch the doggy show. Melody, we cannot watch the doggy show right now. We cannot watch it right now. Get into that argument. She likes that. She'll sit there. She'll watch that for an hour, maybe more. And they're like little 15-minute snippets of things. So she's like watching. She'd watch all these if you let her. You forget she's down there. She'll stay down there all the while you're making dinner, right? Some of us, it's the eyes that consume too much. Some of us, it's the ears that consume too much. We want that gossip. We want something to worry about. I'll tell you this. You get too deep into other people's problems to the point where you're not really looking to help. You're just looking for those details. You're just looking to worry. You know what worry will do? Keep you up at night. It will. Hey, listen, we got a problem going on over here. All right, well, I tell you what, let's pray about it. Well, don't you want to know how they did me wrong and I said this and I did it? No. Let's pray about it. Pray the Lord convenes in here. Hey, you want some scripture? I'll give you some scripture on how to handle this or that. But I tell you what, I ain't going to sit here for 45 minutes gnawing over why this person's a good person or a bad person. But I will sit there and I'll do this. We got to put a little moderation in these ears. We need to be careful what we're listening to and how we're listening to it and what it is we're trying to get out of it. Oh, and what about this? Now, you know who I'm talking about now. Some of us, we put too much in. What happens? Medical problems. Well, I was just talking about on Friday. You know what? Some of us are on medications that we're on because of our bad behavior. And if anything were to happen with the pharmaceutical, right, you know, they talk about shortages on medication. Man, if they ran short on my blood pressure medication, I am in trouble. Right? How about diabetes medication? You are in trouble. Right? So you have a little bit of moderation. You gotta put a little moderation, a little self-control. Temperance is important. You know, you think about this, you know, I could do a little. Are you really doing a little? You know, I remember watching that show, that Secret Eaters. They hire people to follow you around all day, give you a report on what it is you actually ate. They're like, oh yeah, I probably eat about 1,800 calories a day. I do real good. And then it turns out that they're more closer to 3,500, 3,400 calories a day. And they're like, oh no, I had no idea. Well, the McDonald's drive-thru had an idea. They knew you by name. Hey, George, we'll put in the regular for you. You know, it's a problem. Again, temperance, we need to have control, because if I'm not a good steward of this, what really am I? And of course, that of course, we would see that to know to do good and not do it, of course, is a sin. So these, again, these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that we ought to be focused on, the things that ought to draw our attention and be what we're putting our effort in life. And it says there in verse 25, if we live, I'm a little bit over my time, so we'll be done. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another or envying one another. We ought to live a certain way for a certain expectation. And if I'm growing anything else in my garden, I'm sure going to be in trouble. Right? What is the desire or the motive of our lives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you be with us now as we go into this time of singing. Lord, you are so good to us. Your mercies renew every day. You just pour out those blessings to us. So, Lord, as we sing to you, I pray that it be well welcomed by you. That, Lord, our hearts be true to what we're saying. Lord, we love you and seek to worship you now. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.